This is Michael Hudson, reporting for the Federation News Service, and I'm here interviewing Savay of the planet Vulcan, former Starfleet officer and current Maquis operative.
I still believe there are other members of the Maquis better suited to this. A committee member, perhaps?
No way. People in the core worlds want to know what things are like in the field.
Very well.
Can you tell us about your childhood?
That information is readily available on the Federation database.
Well, people will want to hear it in your words.
As you wish. I was born in 2250 on Vulcan. My mother was a retired Starfleet officer.
Where did she serve?
Communications officer on the USS Farragut. My father was an agricultural overseer.
Your father was a farmer?
In a manner of speaking. On Vulcan, foodstuffs are grown in the laboratories under controlled conditions.
Oh. What was it like growing up?
I attended school and learned emotional suppression techniques, like any other Vulcan.
Emotional suppression? I thought Vulcans naturally had no emotions.
That is a misconception. We have emotions, very powerful ones in fact, and must work all our lives to keep them in check. But I believe this is straying off topic.
What made you want to join Starfleet?
Originally, I did not. However, I showed an early aptitude for three-dimensional orientation and navigation. My mother convinced me that Starfleet was the most logical place to pursue a piloting career. I enrolled at the age of 32.
Did you set any records while you were there?
On the contrary, my grades were average at the best of times. The only record I may have set was for the number of infractions given out to a Vulcan that year.
That's a surprise. Would you care to elaborate?
At the time, my only goal was to become a shuttle pilot, or perhaps helmsman for a small starship. As such, it seemed illogical to spend time and energy studying subjects that I had no intention to use.
You didn't have any career ambitions besides that?
I did not. I enjoyed piloting and saw no reason to do anything else. You must remember, I was quite young.
What about these infractions?
I attended a number of social gatherings that were in violation of Academy regulations. The superintendent at the time was Admiral Tajak, and I believe he felt negatively about a fellow Vulcan acting in such a manner.
But you did graduate?
Yes, in 2286.
I see. What was your first posting?
The USS Corona, where I served for 5 years. For the most part, I piloted shuttles and served as helmsman during the night shift.
But you eventually transferred from ops to command?
Yes, although it took some time for my request to be approved.
Why transfer at all? I thought piloting was what you wanted to do.
It was. However, I quickly began to see the illogic in orders given by my superior officers. Often, I was convinced I knew a more efficient way to accomplish whatever task was set before us. By transferring to command, I hoped to do things my way.
Well, that sounds a little arrogant.
Perhaps it was.
Did it make you wish you'd done better at the Academy?
Occasionally. But it is illogical to dwell in the past, beyond learning from one's mistakes.
You did eventually advance in rank. How did that happen?
Experience. Despite its multi-species nature, Starfleet is primarily structured according to human lifespans. By the time I was given command of the Artemis, I had been in Starfleet for 51 years, which was longer than some of my colleagues had been alive.
So you're saying you were promoted because you'd been around so long?
To an extent. I also performed much better on the command test than I ever had at the Academy.
I see. Tell us about the Artemis.
From an objective standpoint, she was exceptional only in her faults. The Artemis was the last Constitution class still in service. She'd been refitted and overhauled 13 times when I took command. Her systems were out of date, her amenities were basic at best, and her top speed was just under warp 8.2.
Doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
On the contrary, I took great satisfaction in commanding the Artemis. She was old, but she was my ship.
And you were captain for 3 years until the Cobalt System incident.
Yes.
Could you tell us about it?
As I have said, the information is available in the Federation database.
And I already told you, people want to hear it in your words.
Very well. It was a rather straightforward misunderstanding. The Artemis was patrolling the Gorn border near Cobalt 3, and the Gorn battlecruiser, HMS Lattice, believed we had crossed into their territory with hostile intent. They fired on us and would not answer hails. The Artemis was outgunned by a factor of 3. I gave the order to evacuate, but the ship was destroyed, with 112 of my crew still aboard. Would you like me to name them?
No, I think that's enough. I'm sorry.
It was not your fault.
The court-martial found that it wasn't yours either. The record says you did everything you could.
With respect to the record, it is incorrect.
What do you mean?
Gorn battlecruisers of that time period had a weakness in their shields, 3.2 meters below their port impulse engine. Concentrated weapons fire to that point could have broken through the shields and disabled the ship.
Well, there's no way you could have known that back then.
I have had some time to consider.
Let's move on. What did you do afterward?
I took an indefinite leave to Vulcan. I spent a considerable amount of time meditating and studying philosophy.
Anything in particular?
I tried to sample texts from species across the quadrant. The Vulcan cultural database is quite expansive.
That was where you met your husband?
No, that was where I met the father of my son. Lutrell and I never married.
That sounds like an interesting story.
A simple one. Our ponfars happened to coincide, and I wanted a child.
Oh!
Is something wrong?
No, it's just I always thought Vulcans hated talking about the ponfar.
Many do.
But not you.
I see no point in being squeamish about something that is a biological fact of our existence. That is logical, to say the least.
How did you end up back in Starfleet?
2 years after my son Sybek was born, the Enterprise-C was destroyed at the Battle of Narandra III. That event is now thought of as a catalyst for lasting peace with the Klingons, but at the time it was unknown how events would unfold. There was talk of war with the Romulans, and Starfleet chose to bolster its ranks with experienced captains.
So you were called up. Did you try to take your son with you?
No. Sybek lived with his father after I left. It was a difficult choice, but a logical one.
And they put you on the Almanac?
Yes. She was everything the Artemis was not. A new ambassador class, fresh from shipyards, one of the most powerful vessels Starfleet had to offer.
Did you miss your old ship?
Yes, I did. However, I was able to suppress the emotions so it did not interfere with my duties.
And you commanded the Almanac for 12 years?
Correct. Fortunately, conflict with the Romulans did not escalate further, and it was an uneventful command.
About as uneventful as a Starfleet career gets.
Perhaps. After it became clear there would be no war, the Almanac was attached to the 2nd Fleet based out of Vulcan.
So you were able to spend time with your son?
Yes.
Did you encourage him to enter Starfleet?
No. It was important to me that Sybek chose his own path. I was pleased when he was accepted into the Vulcan Science Academy. He's working in warp theory now, I believe.
Did you ever think of transferring to a more exciting ascent?
I had my fill of excitement on board the Artemis. Commanding the Almanac was a welcome change.
What drove you to retire?
I was offered a promotion to the Admiralty.
That's definitely not in the Federation database.
I would imagine not.
Why didn't you accept?
I was not ready.
Would you explain that?
The deaths of 112 people aboard the Artemis still troubled me. An Admiral's decisions can mean life or death for many more.
So you decided to return to Vulcan?
Yes. As I said, there was still a great deal of the cultural database I had not experienced.
Did you consider going back to Starfleet when the border wars with the Cardassians began?
I was never called on. I suspect that Starfleet did not take my retirement in the best light.
And you would be on Vulcan for almost 15 years. Anything interesting happen?
Nothing newsworthy, although it was in that time I met Ellen.
Ellen who?
I would prefer not to give any other personal information about her. Suffice to say, we met through our shared interests and soon became lovers. She's a remarkable woman.
Oh, I see.
I learned later that she was politically active in the Federation colonies along the new Cardassian border.
Is that what got you interested in the DMZ?
Yes. It only took a small amount of research to see how unstable the situation was. With respect to Federation diplomats, the treaty was filled with vagueness and uncertainty, something clearly rushed out quickly to end a war that Starfleet did not want to fight.
Did you believe then that violence was the only answer?
Not at first. In the months immediately after the 2367 armistice, I hoped the Federation Council would choose to take a stronger stance on territorial borders. Leaving Federation colonies in Cardassian space was out of the question in my eyes.
Why?
Because the Central Command has been an expansionist government since it came to power. Bajor and half a dozen other worlds are clear examples. Before the treaty was even ratified, the Central Command had already begun measures to drive Federation colonists off their worlds.
So you joined the Marquis?
Federation citizens in the demilitarized zone need protection that Starfleet could not or would not provide.
Aren't you worried that the Maquis' attacks will start another war?
They may, but sometimes war is the only logical option against an unreasonable adversary. The Cardassian Treaty sends a message that the Federation will give up territory to avoid conflict. The histories of more worlds than I can name are full of reasons why this policy does not work.
You're saying the treaty is appeasement?
To say nothing of the message it sends to prospective member worlds that the Federation will only defend them so long as it is convenient.
But hold on. You say that the Maquis exist to protect Federation lives, but the death rates on both sides have more than tripled since it was conceived. Violence only leads to more violence.
I do not wish to argue statistics or philosophy with you. I have told you everything that I am prepared to about my personal history and my joining the Maquis.
All right. This is Michael Hudson entering my interview with Survey of the... What's that?
Battle alert. A hostile ship must be approaching. You should depart immediately.
Right. Hudson, the News One, beam me up.
This is Survey. Our guest has departed. Raise shields and charge weapons. I shall be there momentarily.